The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller, with you on this 24th day of September 2019. Talking with David Strait, former Navy SEAL, intelligence officer, former county sheriff's deputy. Been on the inside, folks. Now he's kind of on the outside. He's been succeeding and helping people in court for 30 years. He's served on two presidential task forces with the subject matter, recovered over 250 children from the child prostitute system, creating paperwork that has influenced over 800 victories in court, working with tribal nations to help restore land and sovereignty rights. Remember what he said about treaty. Getting people out of prison and stopping people from going to prison. Helping people perfect their land patents. For you people out there, that means you get a land patent, guess what you don't owe the state? That's right, property tax. Remember, he was a member of Clive Bundy's legal team as well. Current world ambassador for Voice of Youth Trust, been on this freedom journey, as I said, for 30 years. And what he teaches you here is how to navigate the jurisdictions in America. Once the state comes after you, wouldn't it be better to keep them at abeyance rather than get sucked into their system and go through all this gyration? That's their job. That's what they're geared to do. But you don't have to be an active participant. Traveling without a driver's license? I've been doing... David, I've been driving without a driver's license now for damn near 30 years.
That's great.
And they always ask me, well, it shows up on my NCIC as it's expired. So they have no contract. And what I was getting to before the break, this is a civil infraction, so why is it so many people die at the hands of these cops if this is just a little inky-dinky, little tiny civil infraction? This is not a criminal, bank robbery, murder, whatever, what people think as being crime.
Well, you know, I think that's kind of a complicated answer. First of all, I think in the United States, we've kind of lost touch with God, for one. And we don't treat everyone as our neighbor, friendly. You know, I always, when a police officer walks up to my window, I reach my hand out, shake it. I say, how you doing, officer? I hope you're having a nice day. You know, I really hope you're being safe. I really want you to go home to your family, and I truly mean that. But on the other hand, when he asks me for my driver's license, proof of insurance, and registration, I tell him that I've spent my entire life trying to protect my neighbor and do no harm. But the only document I use while I'm traveling is the proper passport. And I hand him the passport and shut up. And then he walks back to his car, scans the passport, usually walks back up to my window, hands it back to me, and says, thank you very much. I won't detain you any longer. And I get back on the road, and I'm gone. That's usually my average traffic stop.
And I'm in agreement with you. But what is it specifically, if he's running your passport, what shows up on an NCIC?
Well, everything you've ever done in your entire life pretty much shows up on there. And if you have the proper passport and you're a state national, as per the Geneva Conventions, you're actually have limited diplomatic immunity, and it will show up and it will say, do not stop, do not detain, you're free to go.
Wow. And how does one go about getting one of these state national passports?
Well, I probably should say you guys will have to come to the class to find out, but I'll tell you. First of all, you got to properly change your status.
Right.
And in Title 8, Section 1101 of the United States Code, it has a definition of your statuses. And basically, you have to notify them. You have to put them on notice. So you send them an affidavit of repudiation of citizenship to the Secretary of State of the United States and tell them why you are choosing to be what you are. And then let them know that your status is Title 8, 1101, A21. Once you do your affidavit and you properly serve and publicly publish so it becomes your court of record, now you can go get your passport. When you go get your passport, you fill out the DS-11 the proper way. You do not check the boxes saying you're not a United States citizen. You fill your address out properly and your name out properly. And you set an appointment with the passport agency. You collect your two photographs and your ID. You go in front of the agent, the guy who's going to issue your passport, and you say, here's my affidavit of repudiation of citizenship showing that I am a state national under Title 8, Section 1101, A21. Please issue me a passport that reflects that status.
And what would that person within that state, who would that person be that you present this to?
You present it to, are you asking me, at the U.S. Passport Service Agency?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we're going to make a declaration here, and I'm telling them I'm a state citizen. I am not under the jurisdiction here that this national, or I should say the international passport has, but... Okay, once you get this affidavit and you're making this presentment, to whom are you doing this to?
To the United States Passport Agency.
Okay, that is found in any...
Where I live in Oregon, I have to either go to San Francisco or I have to go to Seattle. Seattle is 2 hours closer. So I call up and I set an appointment for a couple of days for 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And I get up early in the morning, and I drive up to Seattle, and I have lunch, and then I go to the passport agency, where I'm face-to-face with the guy issuing my passport. And I tell them that, and it takes about a half an hour. And then I get in my car, I drive home, and 2 days later, I have my passport in the mail.
Okay, so you're not suggesting that people go to their nearest post office, which... pretty much every post office in this country is there to give you a passport, but not the one.
No, they're not.
They're not the state. Not the state passport, but the national passport.
No, they're not.
They're not.
The post office is a transfer agent.
Okay.
They gather all your information up and they mail it to the U.S. passport agency. They're a transfer agent. They don't issue the passport. They don't grant the passport.
So that's why it takes them 2 to 3 weeks to get that passport to you.
Yeah, it's got to be mailed back and forth.
Okay, gotcha.
And then you're not able to explain to the agent issuing your passport of your proper status. So sometimes a lot of people get it back wrong.
Hmm. Okay. That was the answer I was looking for. All right, hey, David, we got phone calls stacking up here. Chance jumped in here about 25 minutes ago. Let me take Chance first up in West Virginia. You're on with David Strait. Hello, Chance.
Yes, hello, John. Hello, Mr. Strait. You know, John, hey, a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned to you a couple of acronyms. I think Mr. Straight might be the perfect man to answer this. Mr. Straight, have you ever heard of this acronym? The first acronym is CRIS, CRIS. It stands for Court Registry Investment System. It's supposed to be insurance for the courts. Have you ever heard of that?
I have.
Okay. How about this one, Mr. Straight? CUSIP, C-U-S-I-P. It stands for Committees Uniform Securities Identification Procedures.
Absolutely right. I talk about CUSIPs in every one of my classes. It's an investment control number. It's regulated by the Securities and Exchange Commission.
Okay, and Mr. Straight, can I ask you this question also? Is it true that if you get pulled over and you're handed a citation or a traffic ticket, that you can make a copy of it, write an affidavit to withdraw your signature, send it to the state attorney general, then the policeman has to pay all those fines rather than yourself because you're considered a co-signer? Is there any truth to that?
You know, I'm not even going to speculate on that answer because that's not what I do. What I do is if they decide to write me a ticket, I take the ticket, and because all courts are banks, so you follow banking law. In banking law, you have a 72-hour right of rescission. So what I do is I take the ticket, and with a fine-tip red Sharpie, I write right across the face of the ticket at a 45-degree angle, your offer to contract is not accepted while traveling in private in my private automobile. You are operating under Title 18, Section 242, and depriving me of my rights under the color of law. And I mail it back to the court listed on the ticket. And I've never had to pay a ticket.
And Mr. Straight, if I may ask you another question. Is it true that you should sign all government documents, including your driver's license, and after your signature, write UD, then UCC 1-207 without prejudice? And then that contract then becomes unenforceable because now it becomes common law. Is that correct?
UCC 1-207 became 1-308 when they updated the UCC. And you are correct. However, I don't even do that half the time.
Well, a traffic ticket is a bill of attainder, correct?
That's right.
Okay. And can I ask you something also? I think I heard a previous meeting that you spoke on tape a while back, and I've been trying to obtain it. Are you the gentleman, by any chance, from Michigan? You used to work under Bogue Wright, is that correct?
Nope.
Oh, okay, then I have you confused with somebody else.
I know who you're talking about. He was in the first air cab in Vietnam. And I'll think of his name for in a second here. He used a false name. But no, this is not the man from Michigan. I know who you're talking about, Carl Miller.
I couldn't recall his name.
Carl Miller.
Carl Miller, okay.
Yes.
And Mr. Straight, if I may ask you, do you have any step-by-step instruction manuals on how to rescind contracts, how to go about doing this step-by-step, or any tapes that are available to the public?
You know, I really don't. I've been going to write a manual for a long time, and I just have never done it. I'm usually too busy and just focused on helping people, and I just don't sit down to write. I don't do videos of myself. The only videos that are out there are ones that other people have taken at classes I've put on. That's just not me. I'm more comfortable just meeting a man face-to-face, looking in his eyes and saying, how can I help you?
Okay, for us folks who would like to contact you and take advantage of your information, how would we contact you? Do you have a contact address or website? Or
I do, but I'm going to be honest with you. I get more than 100 phone calls a day, several hundred emails, several hundred texts, several hundred Facebook posts, several hundred Facebook messengers, several hundred tweets.
No wonder you don't have any time.
You know, you're right.
Yeah, it could be exactly vastly right. Overwhelming. Could be overwhelming.
All
I
right, Chance, I'm going to ask you to wrap this up. Anything else for the gentleman?
No, that's all I wanted to ask Mr. Street those particular questions and see if he was familiar with them. That's all. Thank you, gentlemen. Have a good night now.
I appreciate it. Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
Rodney in Illinois. Hello, Rodney.
Hey, John, Mr. Street. I have a passport application in front of me. I have been contemplating the precise timing that I'm going to do this. And just to, you know, for the audience to flesh it out a little bit, I'm just going to read a single sentence, and it says, U.S. passports, either in book or card format, are only issued to U.S. citizens or non-citizen U.S. nationals.
That's what the application says.
Yeah. And I've been told that once upon a time, this application actually would say state citizen. But now the state citizen is covered under non-citizen U.S. national. Is that also your information?
Yes. You have to let them know, and you got to remember, the United States government follows the United States Code. The United States Code was put there for one reason and one reason only. That's for we the people to use it to hold government accountable. That's what it's there for. And under Title 8, Section 1101 is your definitions of statuses. Any of those statuses that are listed under Title 8 of Section 1101, they must issue a passport. But you, it's your job to notify them of which choice you're going to make.
I made that choice back in 1993. I filed my status notification. But, you know, I failed to forward that to, you know, other controlling agencies, and it never was a problem up until here recently. So Providence has it that... my procrastination is over. But anyhow, about the common law and jurisdictions, I find myself here in Illinois. A target. But anyhow, in the midst of my being a target, I called a Illinois Supreme Court Rule 402 conference, and when I found this, I found it extremely interesting because what it deals with is pleas of guilty, plea bargains. Basically, this is the Illinois Supreme Court rule that discusses plea bargaining. Uh-huh. You know, and how many people who find themselves being charged end up plea bargaining. Well, the vast majority of them do.
Mm-hmm. And by far,
Yeah. But even when it comes to 401, 401 deals with waiver of counsel. Counsel is a constitutional right. We have a constitutional, guaranteed, God-given right to assistance of counsel. Well, they're on
right.
rules.
They're on rules.
Wait a minute. Rodney, hang on a second.
Yep. Rodney, let me stop you right there for a second. It doesn't say that counsel has to be an attorney or a lawyer or a bar.
I know.
Okay.
I know. I was going to get to that.
Go ahead.
401 deals specifically with if you're going to waive your right to counsel, even the Illinois Supreme Court rule recognizes that is... an organic right that comes from
Rodney,
the organic...
Rodney, hang on 1 second. Nobody can hear this bump except me. Hang on. We'll carry you through the break. We're talking with David Strait today. Fred in Iowa and others will take your calls as well at 800-313-9443.
An opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We are back talking with David Strait. I got Rodney in Illinois. Rodney, pick up where you left off prior to the break, please.
Okay. Well, that was 3 months ago. My mind goes a lot of places. So anyhow, under 401 B transcript, the proceedings required by this rule to be in open court shall be taken verbatim and upon order of the trial court transcribed, filed, and made a part of the common law record. Are they recognizing a common law jurisdiction here, sir?
That's up
when it comes to counsel. I think they are.
Yes, they are. It's up to you.
Yeah.
It depends on how you walk into court. It depends on the language you use in court. It depends on if you're there by general appearance under an administrative court or if you're there by special appearance, not turning over jurisdiction and calling for a constitutional court. See, your documents that you put in court are a court of record. Once they're properly served and publicly published and then recorded with the court. It's not the brick building that's a court of record. It's your documents that become the court of record. So once you do the things that you're supposed to do, then they have to recognize it. Now, There's a couple of exceptions across the United States, Utah being one of them. Utah changed their constitution so it doesn't recognize common law. Can they get away with that? I don't believe they can. I think they're breaking federal law to try and even say that. But that's probably going to require a lawsuit to settle.
Yeah, the language in this rule is very telling. The judge must make a substantial effort to inform the defendant who is contemplating a plea bargain that he shall understand. It uses the words, you know, of course, this is to take place in open court, and it is a conference. And we are going, and it uses the word, we're going to have a discussion. And I'm thinking, boy, doesn't that kind of, you know, kind of take the edge off of things? Well, it can. It should.
It should.
And it tells me that this rule contemplates that this is a very serious matter. Anytime anybody ever plea bargains, because they want to make absolutely sure that anybody that voluntarily waives their right to counsel or waives their right to a jury trial is duly informed. And I called one of these conferences, and I'm going to get my own court reporter because I don't trust their verbatim recordings. And I'm going to invite the Illinois Supreme Court themselves to send a representative. I'm going to contact Illinois University Law School law departments, and you know, hey, we're having one of these 402 conferences, for extra credit. Maybe you want to send some of your students down here to observe. And so, anyhow, if I might, going back to the passport, I was doing some random researches, and Providence brought me upon an article. That is simply titled "Beat the Law." Well, at the end of the article, it wasn't the original source. It had the original source cited, so I went there and I found it, and I found this guy's website. His name is Vaughn Wilson's, and his article is "Beat the Law." You do any internet search, and that will be the number one. And he details, and you know, Mr. Strait, I'm sure you're not offended that I'm suggesting that somebody, you know, have another opportunity to read about this subject matter. You're not in financial competition with anybody. No, but this guy, Vaughn, as in Stevie Ray Vaughn, his first name is Vaughn Wilson's, plural, it's got an S on the end, and Beat the Law. And he explains in minute detail how to properly fill out your U.S. passport application, if it's your first application, or simply to amend or renew. And I've talked to this man on the phone, and he's a genuine article, and you know, he's not God, he's not Christ, you know, of course, but he's a fighter just like you, and I would be surprised if you hadn't heard of him or him you. But anyhow, thanks, John. I'm sorry,
I have heard of him, and there's others as well. CopperMoonshineStills.com is another one.
Well, that's Vaughn. That's Vaughn Wilson.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the guy. And I talked to him about my...
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, of
about
course
a
you keep...
Bit.
Wait a minute. Yeah. You guys keep stepping on each other. Go ahead.
That's okay.
Yeah, all right. Rodney, I thank you. We're at the bottom of the hour break here. I thank you for your call. Fred and I will hang on a second here. Reminding people, there's an Austin meeting with David Strait and Ron Gibson. 3 days, September 26th, 27th, and 28th. National status, rights, allodial titles, land patents. And there's a little bonus to this. On day 4, I'm sure you've heard of her, Anna Von Ritz. She'll be in attendance at that meeting as well by special invitation. All right, let's break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Republic Broadcasting Network depends on listener support of our advertisers and of our sponsors. We'd like to especially thank all of you who have taken advantage of our fundraiser with FrontSight Bonus. Those who are now FrontSight members, please train as soon as possible for your sake and for that of our nation. And please consider sharing your training and what you've learned when you arrive home. Republic Broadcasting Network has to stop promoting this fundraiser on air and on the website in just a few days. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, president of FrontSight, made a gracious exception to his no-media rule for us at Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you, Dr. Piazza. And once you've been to FrontSight, feel free to call your favorite host and share your experience on the air. We can continue this fundraiser without media help, but it'll be totally up to the listeners to spread the information. Please call Dan Sutterfield in Missouri at 573-465-2356, 573-465-2356. That's 573-465-2356.
Back. Fred in Iowa. Hello, Fred.
Hi. Yeah, hi, John. I don't want to go into a lot of detail, but anyhow, I canceled my previous insurance, and I'm going through my bank, which I did, and I can insure two vehicles for half the price that I was paying with this other company. And I have the company owner, the insurance company name, and the agency is my bank, the bank that I deal with, and insured is my name, you know, and such and such. But I got a cancellation. I wanted to pay up for 6 months, but I got the insurance through my bank a week ago, and then I've got this letter of cancellation. And reason for cancellation, motor vehicle report, description, insurer does not have active license. Now, I know you understand all that. But anyhow, the action is being taken in whole or part because of information contained in a consumer report provided by the consumer reporting agency. Showing below.
That sounds more like a credit rating. You've been disavowed because you got a bad credit rating.
Well,
Because that's what banks are doing now. You can't rent an apartment. You can't buy a house. There's very little you can do anymore. Because what the game is now, if you don't have a credit rating score of such and such or higher, we're just going to deny you service. That was the excuse that was given to me from Chase Bank over a credit card that I held after I paid the damn thing off. They said, oh, no, we review, you're not being picked on, Mr. Stattmiller. We just review everybody that does banking with us. And if your credit score is below this, well, then we can't issue or maintain a credit status for you. So chances are, Fred, they nixed you. Wasn't over the driver's license. They probably checked your credit score.
Well, I never filed for bankruptcy, and you know, 15 years ago, and so I don't know what it's out or what. But
it could be that your credit has been null and void or not used in 10 or 15 years. It shows no history. So, ergo, they don't know about you. They don't know how you operate with their venue. So, ergo, we can't extend this offer to you. We must retract it.
Well, it does say that I can go to the consumer the name of the.
Yeah, okay. Consumer. Yeah. And it's back into the same system. Yeah, you can file a complaint. But you're going to complain to the agency, and then they're going to contact that bank, and the bank is going to tell them, well, look, he didn't meet our criteria. Okay, we'll let the guy know. That's what's going to happen with that.
So, other words, I'm screwed.
If that's the way you want to look at it, I would...
I don't want to look at it that way.
Okay, well, I would just prefer that's one try that you made, and it didn't work. Yeah, just think of Tommy Edison when you're going through this practice. There was many light bulbs that he made that didn't work, and if he would have quit, it would have been a long time before we had electric lighting. He was fond of saying that, no, I found another way that I can't do it, so that means I'm closer to the way that I can. And that, Fred, was a whole lot of nothing I just gave you. In other words, ask the bank, look, are you gauging this on a credit score before you go any further with it? All right, Fred?
Yeah, that's the reason for my call. I don't intend to give up, for criminy's sake, but, I'm trying to find out the different avenues that I can venture down. Yeah. Anyhow, thank you very much for the help. Talk to you later.
Thank you, Fred. You know, folks, have you noticed something? You ever bought a car from a dealership, new or used? They might ask you for a driver's license because you're on their property if you want a test drive, and they'll take the license, go make a copy, and then hand that back to you. But have you ever noticed that you can walk into a dealership, you can walk into Honest John's used cars, you can buy a car, and you don't have to show a driver's license. You can go then to the Secretary of State. You can put insurance on that vehicle, put the inspection sticker on it, put the tags on it. Guess what you don't need to do is ever show them a valid driver's license. Why do you suppose that is? David?
What's that?
Okay. All right.
I thought you were talking to him.
No, I was just making a statement, and I was laying this out, that you can actually purchase cars and not ever have to show a driver's license. You can go into the Secretary of State's or whatever they call your licensing bureau in your own state. You can walk in there, renew your registration, get plates, do whatever, and you never have to present a valid driver's license. Now, I have a theory behind that one. And if the Secretary of State's disavowed people from getting their registration or their tags or inspection stickers or whatever hoops you got to jump through in any state, USA. If they did that, there'd be a whole lot less revenue being generated on the roads of America, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a big money-making scheme.
And that's always been the tip. To me, one simple thing, that when you go in for that renewal, they go, okay, driver's license, please.
You know, one thing I learned a long time ago is if you, no matter who you're going against, if you're walking into the DMV or you're dealing with a police force or a court or any other government agency of any kind, I recommend in a little thing called Knowing Your Enemy. Look them up. Research them. Find out who they are. Who are they pretending to be government? You will find that they've all got a Dun & Bradstreet number. You'll find that they all have a Manta.com report showing that they're a private for-profit entity. All of our courts, everything today, the government really owns nothing. They sold it all off. You know, we proved in one case in the state of Utah where the first district court of Cache County, Utah, was owned by one man with his headquartered office in Ogden, and he owned seven county courthouses in Utah, just like you would a McDonald's franchise.
And what was the advantage of actually owning the brick and mortar?
You know, I don't know. Maybe, who knows what it is. But the issue is, we assume that they are de jure government with de jure authority, when in reality, they're de facto. They're operating without fact. They operate through the consent of the governed. Rules, codes, statutes, and ordinances are not law. Shaw versus Ray. They're corporate bylaws. They're for employees of the corporation to follow. So they make you an employee of the corporation by making you a citizen, a person, and a resident. You're offered a privilege and a benefits package. That's why they say a license is a privilege. Anytime they license something, they are removing a right and selling it back to you for a fee. They're selling you back a privilege for a fee.
Let's take another call. Ken in New York. Hello, Ken.
Hi, John. Hi, Dave. Yeah.
Hi.
How about the marriage license? What are they giving you there? I do have a question.
Okay.
The court record that, for example, I'm in Suffolk County, New York, and when we have a court record, is that also a common law record? And there's a reason I'm asking this. You mentioned the common record earlier. Common law record, I think.
Okay, what I mentioned was a court of record. Okay?
Court
of record, when it's properly served and publicly published. What does publicly published mean? It means available to everyone. It's recorded. Someone can see it. Someone can get it. You can publicly publish something a number of different ways. You can record it at your county recorder's office. You can put it on a bulletin board with a couple of witnesses who are willing to swear out an affidavit saying you hung it there at such and such a time and place on a certain date, and it stayed there for 21 days. You can publish it in the newspaper. You can do all kinds of things to make it publicly published. Heck, nowadays you can go on Amazon.com and download a write-your-own book program, write a book, and sell it on Amazon for a dollar. And it's publicly published.
Okay,
that becomes a record.
Okay, and that's sort of what I was driving at to alleviate John's concern, which would also be my concern, is you can do all of these things and you could be stopped by a cop that doesn't know any better, and you want to make sure it doesn't escalate out of hand. My idea would be to notify or buy an index in the record and just stuff all of your documentation in there. And number two, go see your sheriff and try to give some kind of notice, either to the sheriff or the police commissioner or the commander of a headquarters, which we have here in Nassau County, So hopefully when you get stopped, you don't have to, you know, get dragged out of your car and beaten.
You know, I agree with you. I believe we only have two jobs in this life, and the rest of the time we could be fishing. And our two jobs are to correct the errors our public servants make and to educate them so they don't make it again. That's our two jobs. And if we would just do that, if we would educate our police forces and educate our politicians and educate our judges and our prosecuting attorneys on the law. See, they don't learn the law in law school, by the way.
They learn procedure.
They learn policy and procedure and how to remain in honor and not dishonor and how good writing skills and language, and how to look things up on Westlaw and how to use software. And they don't study the law. They study case law, which is opinion. It's opinion. The law basically starts in the Bible. That's supreme law. Our constitutions and our, superior law. Our constitutions and our treaties are supreme law. Everything else is rules, codes, statutes, and ordinances, which are corporate bylaws. Okay? Yeah, so our job is to know these things.
So just to answer, speak to John for a moment, I think we could at least depend, can we depend on the average policeman at least checking his computer screen before he comes over to do something to you or unto you?
I don't think you can depend on the average policeman for anything. Look, I'm sorry, but
it's true.
Yeah, it's true. If we are treating them nicely,
yeah,
right.
You got to understand, they deal with 100 people a day who are less than nice. I'll be nice. I'll say less than nice, since we're on the air, okay? And so they're dealing with people that are less than nice to them. So what do? They react to that.
That's right.
And over time, they get worse and worse and worse and more violent. And nowadays, the brand new cops, they're ex-military. They're coming home with PTSD. They have sometimes less than high IQs. That's who they look for. In fact, I've been told by many police officers that they lied on the test because they knew that if they didn't miss a certain number of answers, that they would be considered too smart for the job. Now that's pretty sad.
We've talked about that in the past, right, John? About the 100 IQ.
Yeah, cop? It's important that you don't get somebody that can think. You know, the Marines, they say we're looking for a few good men. Well, yeah, they'll teach you that being a good soldier is following the orders without question. But what they don't tell you is that you don't have to follow an unconstitutional or illegal order. They never underscore that one. By the way, Ken, I just wanted to throw in here that when you're dealing with the police, and David said it correctly, you don't know who this guy, what stop he was involved in, what call did he got. You don't know if he just showed up in a murder scene with a mother or father on psychotropic drugs, just murdered their babies. You don't know. So this is a crapshoot when the cop walks up to your window. And I've said this before, David, and people have misconstrued this on how I deal with the police. I always deal with them politely. What they're not prepared for is to make a stop, have a guy roll down a window, smile at him, or even offer him a handshake and ask him how his day's going. Now, what you've just done is you've hit the cop reset. Now, with a lot of these guys, that may not work. Okay? He's pissed off. He's in the middle of a divorce. Whatever the case may be, he's not in a very good mood. Now, if you find a cop that seems to be a tad bit aggressive, maintain your dignity, your smile, and request that his supervisor be called. Now, there is a reason why I say that. Now, is that the end-all, be-all of a situation? No. But what that brings on board is a supervisory, somebody in a supervisory position, but it's also a witness. Okay? Once you
and I'll offer one more thing.
Go ahead.
Shut up.
Shut the hell up.
Say nothing.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
Yes.
What you say
yes, sir.
Can and most definitely will be used against you.
That's right. That is right.
So,
yeah.
All right, Ken, I appreciate your
call. Thank you.
All right. We'll take a three-minute break here. Ron Gibson, by the way, is going to be down here on the aforementioned dates. And he does it on land patents, mining laws, right-of-ways, water rights, contracts, constitutional law. So this is a double bang for your buck, folks, on this conference. It's going to be happening at the end of this month. We'll be right back.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Got an announcement here, and then we'll close out the program with Mr. David Strait that is going to be down here, folks. The website, if you want more information here, austinmeetingradio.com, and it's going to be David Strait and Ron Gibson. Going to be down here 3 days, September 26th, 27th, 28th of this month. And it's got all the information that you need. Just go to the website. And as a bonus, and I'm assuming that's day four, that's a Monday, Anna Von Ritz, a special guest speaker, is going to be there as well. Now, folks, I got some good news and I got some bad news. I'm very happy to bring people like this on board to help other people, but you also got to help us out here. I'm 2 days away from having the streaming and our website shut down on the network. Literally, I talked to the people today. They gave me, well, 2 days, two whole days to pay or we're shut down. So I won't even be on air on the 26th, 27th, the 28th of this month. Please, ladies and gentlemen, we got an emergency donation situation here to keep this network alive. So give us a call at 800-724-2719. Hit extension 3. Talk to Mike. He'd be happy to take your donation. Trust me. And I would as well, folks. We're working on some things to constantly find funding for this network. But in this world, they're all lying through their teeth at us. Unemployment's 3.7%, and the economy's great, and you got plenty of money. Well, yeah, that's not exactly true. At any rate, David, parting shot here.
Well, to answer your question you just said on the radio, the economy is great. We have 3.5% employment, but the problem is our dollar is not worth anything. So it doesn't go as far as it is. So we don't have any extra in our pockets anymore. Give good people like you. And that's a problem in America.
Yeah. Yeah.
I face that also. Okay. I travel all over the United States. I speak. I try and help other people with their cases. It's a constant battle to raise enough funds just to continue to operate day in and day out.
Well, and David, let me throw something in here because I was thinking about this during the break as well. If David Strait had a 40 or a 50 hour a week job, would you be able to do what you're doing right now?
Absolutely not, because I work about 100 hours a week.
And a lot of people go, oh gosh, okay, another symposium, they're going to want money. And well, folks, have you ever found an accredited college where you go get the stuff that the prof knows and you sit there in lecture, you sit there in her classrooms? Do you think he does it for free? No, he doesn't. Are you expecting it for free? Well, some people in this country do. Yeah, free. Everything's free. Somebody's got to pay for it. But everything's free.
Yeah, and I want to let everybody know that I don't put this money into my pocket. I use every dime I collect, and this is the agreement I have with my wife, is that I can do this thing and I can help others and I can go around and teach as long as I can cover all my expenses and I don't take from my own family budget. I don't do it to make a living.
Smart lady. She's the keeper of the checkbook, I would imagine.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, hey, David, it's been a pleasure. I appreciate it very much. I will be talking with Tony again, and maybe I can get Ron up on the air between now and then. That would be kind of nice as well. All right. Hey, David, it's been a pleasure, my friend. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you, everybody. I appreciate you.
All righty. That'll do it for us today, folks. Please go to the website, go to the donate page. We need emergency funds and we need them now. I got 2 days before they start shutting stuff off to this network. See, I kind of mentioned it in the last several days, but as always, it's got to reach emergency time.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon, September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN.
The Republic Broadcasting Network.